Hey, Sister Ramen. Was today a hard, rough day?
Well, had some flesh killing to do.
Yeah, this was a hard day for me today. Hope you're all doing well today. I'm doing a lot better now, but the day didn't start out so good. We were gonna go back and preach at that big festival, Cranfest, a second day. And I made the mistake of looking at the weather the night before, and the weatherman told us rain pretty much all the day, and we decided, oh, okay, no point in going back a second day, it's gonna rain. And what happened, Sister Ramen?
I didn't see any rain except for maybe off and on for a few minutes.
The rain didn't come, and about halfway through the morning, I was sitting there looking at it going, I can't believe I didn't go preach this other day. And I had a whole boatload of flesh to kill because I really wanted to be there, and so had to put the flesh down. It was too late to go. And we decided to go do other things. So that made it kind of a trialful day for me. I had to really kind of, I was disappointed. I'll just admit it. I was disappointed. But we got over it and we pushed on. And we had a full, complete day just the same. So
right. Yeah. And gospel cards went out.
Because
we went to the marketplace to update phones, yep, and Chromebooks, and right, do some things.
We were with our young brother, yeah.
Yeah, and I got to give a gospel card to a worker lady there.
Yep.
Yeah, and she took that. And I tried to give a gospel card to a woman at the grocery store. She didn't want it. She was polite about it, though. Yeah. She just said, I have what I have, and you can have that one back.
Yeah, and I met a mother and a young girl that wanted a gospel card. They saw my walking stick. They got one. And then we met a man. We met a man that we were met us when we were out street preaching in this town. And he lost, him and I had talked on the phone a few times. He lost my phone number, so he was happy to see me, and I was able to give him my phone number again.
Yeah.
And so that was kind of timely, so I felt like, well, maybe I was supposed to be there to meet him again so he'd get my phone number again. I didn't know. So had to put that flesh all down and realize it just wasn't meant to be today. And we moved on. We had a really good day, and I guess we got quite a bit done.
Yeah, lots of gospel cards went out along the way. Yeah. We had some errands and run and things like that.
And so we ended up, we were in a park having dinner before our fellowship call, and we saw the geese staging. They were honking in the water, and then they took off flying past us in their V formation, and so they're all getting ready to head south just like we are.
Yeah.
Winter's coming, so we're getting ready to head south.
Right.
And so that was kind of a nice sign to see that. That was peaceful.
Yeah.
That was peaceful.
Yeah, we all just kind of watched and marvel at God's creation. It's awesome. They just know which direction to go and how to form that V. It's pretty amazing.
So what's on your mind today, Sister Ramen, after you saw your husband kill his flesh today and had to put that down? What's on your mind?
I was thinking the power of God. Wow, I saw the power of God.
Ah, just disappointed.
Good job.
Don't trust fully in the weatherman. Let's put it that way. Trust in the Lord. Don't trust in the weatherman.
Well, what I saw was, I think we talked about being flexible the other day, and I saw flexibility.
Yeah, I had to back up my own words with my own ways, right?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so we had to be flexible, yeah.
Yeah.
What else is going on?
I found the scripture, Mark 1:45. I love this. I think there's a couple other examples. But he went out and began to publish it much, and to blaze abroad the matter insomuch that Jesus could no more openly enter into the city, but was without in desert places, and they came to him from every quarter. I think I missed the first one. I think that's the one where he said, don't tell anybody. And he went and he did it anyway. I love those words where it says, blaze abroad the matter. And I think there's another one out there. Oh, and it says publish it in there. And there's a couple other ones out there that they like make a big deal about it. It's pretty awesome. Right. And I was just thinking, you know, that believers should be doing that with the gospel, the blood of Christ.
Yeah, amen. That's true.
Yeah. And then I had another one. I don't have a whole lot tonight, but I have another one here.
Yeah.
Isaiah 66:1-2. Thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that ye built unto me? And where is the place of my rest? For all those things hath my hand made, and all those things have been, saith the Lord. But to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit and trembleth at my word. And I was thinking, we preached that out on the streets about the heaven being his throne and the earth the footstool, to kind of show the contrast of who we are. And then I like that part, thinking about a mighty God, the Creator, who will look to that man who is poor and of contrite spirit and that trembles at his word. And we don't see that very often, but we see the very few who do, and it just amazes me. This humongous God will look to this puny man that has a contrite heart. That's awesome.
Yeah, yesterday at the festival, thousands of people, and I asked anybody, did anybody fear God? Nobody raised their hand. Not one person.
Oh, I know. I did that too. And yeah, nobody does. They just laugh at
you. So we see that they don't tremble at his word. They just kind of mock.
Mm-hmm.
Judgment day's coming.
Right.
Yeah. I had this comment come up, and I had to bring it up with the brothers. We found a bunch of believers that are like-minded, someone told us. And we asked, and this is an unbiblical person saying this, and we asked, what does that mean to find people like-minded? So I guess that means if you believe you can live in sin and still follow Christ, I guess if you can find a bunch of people that believe you can live in sin and follow Christ, then you would be a bunch of like-minded believers.
Hey, aren't there like millions of like-minded Roman Catholics?
Catholics, Lutherans, Mormons,
Evangelicals,
Islam. And that's, I guess I just wanted to ponder that. Like-minded. I told brothers, I thought we're supposed to be Christ-minded, not like-minded. So in other words, this is what people do in the churchianity systems. They go and they find people that like what they like. Hey, I like football. I like the outdoors. I like this kind of music. I like this kind. And they glom on to people that are like-minded rather than going to God's word and obeying it, following it, being in sound doctrine. And then seeing if you have other Christ-minded people that you would have things in common with, like it says in 1 Corinthians 1:10, mm-hmm. everyone speaking the same things, perfectly joined together. So I just wanted to talk about that. Like-minded. What a foolish statement. I guess criminals all hang out together and help each other. They're like-minded.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess worldly people are like-minded.
Yep.
I know when we were in the world, partying people love to find other partying people because they're like-minded.
All your vices, you try to find other people who do it too, so you don't feel bad about it all.
Yeah, so the Bible says bad company corrupts. So to be like-minded with other people like you, if you have a sinful traits, is not a good thing.
No, I want to be with like-minded believers, followers of Christ who are obedient.
Yeah, so that like-minded idea, that we hear that all the time, but that just is a foolishness that leads to sin and destruction. And then we had a situation where a saint we know got an email from Fleshly Family, and it had to be answered by someone else. We always teach people, don't let your fleshly family get to you. You let them go through other people in the body, and that takes all the flesh out of it, so that this saint decided to do that, and that was a very good thing. But what did we see in the email, Sister Amin? How do the fleshly family that claims Christ but don't want to follow him biblically, how do they keep trying to approach a person that's left and separated from them and trying to go break off and serve Christ in spirit and truth? What do they do?
They try to reach out with your past and try to share everything about what you used to be involved with and how people are doing and things are going.
Including pets.
Yeah.
They use things like pets. They use relatives. They use your old interests, as Sister Amin said. And they do anything they can to fleshly hold on to you. But the Bible makes it clearer. We're supposed to let the dead bury the dead. We're supposed to cut ties. And watch out for that in your life. People that will try to hold on to you in the flesh, they're not all in for the things of God. They're leavened. They're going to cause problems for you.
Right. Amen.
What are some examples of the problems they can cause?
Oh, they can stumble you. They can get into your flesh if you look back. And then maybe you start feeling bad or, you know, we've known we've known some people in the past, you know, have gotten sick and they try to contact you and you need to come and see so-and-so and this and that.
Yep.
And it's like, hey, we would if we bring our Bible and show the gospel, but they don't want it.
Yeah.
But yeah.
They'll cause you to look backwards and you're not fit for the kingdom. And they'll cause you to second guessing. Yeah. So there's a lot of things they'll cause you to do. They'll cause you to feel guilty about what you did when what you did was biblical.
Yeah. You might think, well, maybe my words weren't quite right. And maybe, and Satan puts it in there, like, did you really treat him right? Were you really supposed to do that? Is that what God tells you to do? And it's like,
And you end up going back to catering to people who don't even want the things of God.
Exactly.
Yeah. So watch out for that. The Bible says cut ties, cut the flesh, let somebody else deal with them and offer them the truth of the gospel. You march on, keep your thoughts, eyes, and flesh out of it. Keep your flesh out of it. Keep your thoughts and your eyes on the kingdom of God.
And this is really good if you've got believers in your life to help look at your life and they'll notice, you know, hey, and I'm not even saying in this example or something, but it could be, you know, you get it, maybe a new believer gets an email from somebody or a reach out or runs into somebody they used to know, then all of a sudden you see maybe a little bit of a demeanor change in them.
Right.
So you can observe it and then ask them about it. How's and it maybe going? Help them see yeah. for themselves, because you can't always see out past your flesh.
Right.
And so that's nice. And you wouldn't want to take offense. I would love a sister if she noticed maybe I was a little bit melancholy or something and yeah. maybe thought something was up.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a good point. So it does help to know each other that well. It's one of the reasons why we like daily edification with each other, because we do get to know each other pretty good. Then you can look after the person, and they're probably more apt to confide in you if you're really close with them.
Right.
Yeah, so that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. What else you got on your heart and mind today, Sister Almond?
I have a scripture verse for the end.
You do? Why don't you go ahead and share it?
Okay. Well, it's a little passage in here with, let's see, Matthew 16:25-27. And this we use out on the streets too. I love it. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works.
Yeah.
And I share that out on the streets, and it calls people out, you know, what are you doing with your life? You're going to gain all these trinkets and all this food and all this entertainment,
it's
and you're
going to
lose
kingdom.
Your soul. Yeah.
Yeah, it's all a bunch of corruptible stuff.
Yeah, it is.
We're supposed to strive for the incorruptible. That's what people seem to, their flesh and the world stumbles you, obviously, and you're caught up in all the corruptible things that clutter your life, and then you have very little time for that which is incorruptible. It should be the opposite. The things of the world should only be the smallest part of your life, maybe your work, things you have to do to survive, and then most of it should be focused on the incorruptible, the kingdom of God.
Do you want a question?
A question?
Are you ready?
I think
I
can
handle
it.
Or should I save it?
I can handle a question, I guess.
Okay, well, this is in relation to when we're at the Cranfest.
Uh-oh.
And they sell food.
Yeah.
So, and not all of
a lot of food.
But there was good, healthy food there. They may sell useful items. They may have some good and pure and true things there. So how would you answer it if you saw or met somebody and you were able to talk to them and they looked like a brother or sister and they talked like it, and in the brief time that you talked to them, and you thought, wow, these people might have a lot of fruit in the knowledge of the Word of God and maybe come out of the world. And they say, so what's wrong with us just coming to the festival? We don't watch TV. We don't do all this. We're pulled out of the world. But we just came to the festival just to kind of just spend the day.
Hmm. Yeah, well, I guess I'd have to preface that. We did see a couple booths at the festival that had like some kitchen stuff,
mm-hmm.
and they had some things like that. There were some
produce.
Tools.
Yeah, I hardly ever look, but
yeah.
I happened to
well, walk right
of that
by,
stuff.
You can't
yeah.
miss it. And they had like 500 booths at this place.
1,300, I read.
Oh, 1,300 booths?
Oh, yeah.
Wow. There was a, yeah.
We didn't even see them all.
It was a, yeah, we didn't walk on every street. We uh-huh. didn't, I thought we were going back tomorrow or today, and we didn't make it back because of the so-called rain. I would say to somebody like that, unless you're going there for an absolute needed thing, like you need some tools to buy for your homestead that you raise food, or there's something that is good, pure, and true, that to go there, it'd be like a trip to go into Walmart or hardware store to get something you need. I would say there's nothing, obviously there's nothing wrong with that. But people that go there for entertainment, people that go there for all of the gluttonous food, expensive gluttonous food, $6 for a hot dog, I would ask, is that a good use of the Lord's time, a good use of the Lord's resources and money? And if you got time to come here and just look around, why don't you have time to do ministry and proclaim the gospel and see people come to faith? So I would just kind of challenge that. Yep, you could go there and just buy some things. I get it. I go to Walmart and buy some things, but I don't go to Walmart and look around. I don't go to Walmart and partake of everything they're doing. I don't go to Walmart and spend hours and hours entertaining myself looking at what they have.
Right.
I go walk in for milk or bread or a tool, and I'm out of there.
Right.
So I think it has everything to do with your heart, your intention. Why are you here?
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
If somebody said to me, oh, they got tools down here that are a discount, I wait for this to come every year, and I buy tools to run my business or my homestead, okay, not a problem. Hopefully you're not here indulging yourself in this. Why are you walking around looking at everything?
Yeah.
It's an idle use of time.
It is.
A waste of time.
Yeah, it is.
And it's self-indulgent, and the number of people, the so-called Christians that were there, arms full of trinkets and food. One man, I couldn't help but remember this man, one man had all of his wife's trinkets and he even had food in his hand, and he said, "Amen, brother." And I said, "You're my brother." I said, "Let's talk the gospel." "Oh, no, I can't. I got to get going." And I said, "Here, let me give you a gospel card." He didn't even have a hand free. He looked at me like his arms were all full. He goes, I can't take it, man. I got to go." And he just left. He's loaded down with the ways of the world, but he didn't take my contact info so that we could become close brothers in the things of God.
Yeah.
Swept away by the cares of the world.
Yeah, that's what those places do. They just feed the flesh.
They feed the flesh, and they pile on more things in your already busy worldly life.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Think about that. Instead of husbands and wives going for a walk in the woods and just getting to know each other or talking and spending time together or pondering the greater, more important things of life, you go to a festival and you're distracted by 1,300 booths and all the food and other people are walking around and parades and lights and sound and music and all this stuff.
You're there for the whole atmosphere.
Yep.
Yeah.
They're just heaping on themselves more flesh when they need to really focus more on the spirit.
Right, yeah. I thought that would be good to explain why a saint...
Yeah, so not all of them are sinful, obviously. It's just, why are you there? How much time are you spending? And what are you doing for the kingdom of God versus that?
Right, yeah, exactly.
That's what I would say. That makes sense?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Thank you.
Tomorrow, guess what? The weatherman's saying it's going to rain all day long. What do you think? It's going to rain?
God knows.
Only the Lord knows, yeah. So I don't think we're going to have any ministry tomorrow. We were going to maybe do a church or something, but I don't think it's going to work out that way. So it looks like it's going to be an online day, and we got lots of stuff to get done there anyway. So
we got the poster put up.
Oh, yeah, we got the preach from the Grand Fest to put up, so that'll be awesome. A lot of good video there. And then our young brother's traveling with us now as we work our way down to Missouri, so we'll be doing some things with him, working online and things like that. We were going to actually go do some tent camping for the days coming up, but it's supposed to rain a whole bunch of days coming up. And so we're probably going to put that on hold till we get further south. So a lot of change, a lot of flexibility. We don't even know what our next preach is going to be, but it doesn't matter.
Right. And going to the camping thing, I was just thinking about why.
Yeah. Oh, why? Well, this young brother wants to learn how to do some, he calls it manly things. He hasn't been trained to do manly things, like simple things like how to start a fire and cook over a fire. If you had to bug out of an area, how do I survive in a tent if I had to spend the night somewhere in a tent? How do I use certain hand tools? How do I catch a fish for dinner if I need to catch a fish for dinner or to feed someone else for dinner? So we're going to take some time, and him and I, we're going to just spend some time together, just kind of drawing close in the brotherhood, and then also doing some of these things that are practical things that a young man should need to know, how to work with his hands and do some basic skills like survival in a tent, cooking, catching fish, nothing too worldly or time consuming. Just fellowship together and learning some real good skills as a man.
You know what's interesting about that?
And by the way, we've already worked on his car, changed his oil,
helped
him change a tire. So we've already been doing those things with him too, as well, to help him just be, in case I die and I'm not around, I want him to be a rounded man, knows how to do different things.
Yeah. And I was thinking about you and I, the upper generation or older generation, whatever. To us, this was like just basic 101 of life.
Yeah.
You know, you're out on the farm, you're out in the country, wherever it is, you're learning how to build
things. Yeah, I grew up with tools in my hands.
Yeah, me too. All kinds of things like that.
Yeah.
Fishing with a stick and a piece of line tied to it. That was it, with a hook.
Yeah.
And then you got to dig up your own worms while you're standing there and you go do that. But in the society today, it's so automated and it's so push a button and it's order it online and stuff that it's nice to see a young man want to learn how to do this stuff.
And we kind of base it on the Bible verse where Paul talks about work with your own hands.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm a believer that men should know how to work with their hands. They should know how to fix a car. They should know how to start a fire. They should know how to catch a fish. They should know how to cook it. They should know how to make some basic things that they could make to survive, and if they needed to. And so I think those are good skills for people to have.
Yeah, I also think when you get a handful of the basic skills and you learn how to do them, it opens up your mind to understand how to do other things you've never even done using those skills.
Oh, yeah.
Or and knowing that, hey, I can learn how to do that. I could probably figure this one
out. Yep. And that's what's great about van life. You have to end up doing all kinds of stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And speaking of van life, do we know a young couple with children that are experimenting in their first night out in van life?
Yeah, and it's going good. It seems
first night
to
out,
be
they're kind
of
weak.
Of joy.
They're kind of weekend or van life people right now, but you never know. Someday down the road, they may be full timers, but they seem to be liking it. And they sent us a video of they got neighbors around them, and they said they kind of like the simplicity of it and the freedom of it. So that's pretty cool. They know they could be out there serving the Lord, so that's pretty awesome.
Yeah, it opens up the doors and options, and like you were saying, on the weekends.
Yep.
That's things people could do, you know, if your vehicle is sleeper-worthy, if you can at least sleep in it.
Oh, yeah.
Weekend trips away from where you're at kind of opens up more doors.
Yep.
And
it gets you out there, gets you going, be used of the Lord, and puts you out in the world rather than just staying at home all the time, which you can only do so much ministry. You can only hand out gospel cards to your neighbors right around you, and after that, that area is done. Now you got to go out from there, and so getting out and going is a good thing.
Yeah, especially when you can.
Yeah.
There's many people who are able to do it or could make the ways to do it, and Jesus said go.
He said go. Preach the gospel, so we should be looking for chances to go do that.
Yep.
So yeah, tomorrow, if it does rain all day, we'll be prepared for that, and we'll be moving down the road after that, headed south. Are you excited about that, Sister Armin?
Mm-hmm.
You had said today it felt like it's time to ready to leave the state, is what you said.
Yeah, it just feels, doesn't that happen? I mean, it's like a time, all of a sudden we get this momentum to move and move on, and it just seems right to
us. And in this case, I'm glad that our young brother's coming with us, because we would move on if he decided to stay here, that'd be fine, but he's coming with us, and that kind of is a good feeling. He's going to go down and meet another brother down, and we're all going to do ministry together, and then he's going to stay there for a while, so that's going to be pretty awesome. So I feel really good about that, and I'm thankful for that.
Right.
And we did have a ecclesia gathering tonight, and we covered some good topics. Let me see if I can remember them. We talked about love waxing cold. We talked about the gospel that does not call you out of the world. We talked about comfort. What is our comfort about at Christ's return? And we talked about growing through afflictions.
Okay, I think you got them.
So, yeah, so we talked about four things. So those audios are up in the Ecclesia Gathering area, and you can check those out. You'll be edified by those.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Anything else, Sister Armin? Any thoughts, last thoughts, or anything?
No, just sharing love and prayers for sisters and the brethren out there.
Amen. I want to share this scripture verse with you. I like this verse a lot. 2 Thess 2:13-17. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord. I like that. Brethren, beloved of the Lord. Because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold to the traditions which you have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and a good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. I like that.
Yeah.
Establish you. That word says establish in the King James. I'm sure it means establish you in every good work and in every good word and work. So we're about the word and we're about works too, aren't we?
Amen.
Working for the Lord, we're made for good works.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's all we got for you tonight. I guess my last thought to you, kind of keyed off of our ecclesia gathering, keep in mind that Jesus said we'll have much tribulation, but through those trials and afflictions and tribulation, guess what? If you have your mind set on the kingdom of God, will you grow, Sister Armin?
Amen, definitely.
Yeah, you'll grow, and you will grow into the perfected, sanctified, fully mature and complete saint that God wants you to be, and he uses that process of trials, tribulation, afflictions, chastening, all of those things, to, as one brother said, to burn off the dross. You put gold and silver in a pot, you fire it up hot, and all the junk gets burned off on the top. And that's what trials and afflictions do for us, if we view them rightly. And I had to do that today with my disappointment. I had to say, you know what? just another reminder that I got to be flexible out here, and it's not my way, it's not my will, and I just have to be ready to be thankful. If that's the worst thing I got going on, that the weather was wrong and a preach didn't happen because of that, but we went out and did other things, I guess we're doing pretty good.
Amen. We're faithful.
Yeah. Next time I'll probably go and show up there and just wait and see if it rains.
Yeah.
Sometimes we learn that. I've said that before too, and sometimes we have to learn that again. A hard lesson, because when they say it's going to rain 40% chance, like my brother said, that means 60% it may not. When they say it's going to rain 100%, they're usually pretty accurate at that. It's those 30, 40s, and that just teaches me to what? Not trust in man.
Yeah, especially if we're real close. If we had to drive a long ways away, that might be different, but yeah.
Yeah, we were close enough, we could have went. So next time we'll do that, so we'll keep that in mind. So, all right, we love you all. We hope that you are striving for the kingdom. Shoot us an email so we can help you. Check out all our resources. And after tomorrow, we'll be headed down the gospel road.
Mm-hmm. Lord willing.
You ready for that, Sister Amen?
I am.
All right. We love you all.
May God be praised.